two more also. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground with his money, and after a long time the lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your lord. Verse number 29. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Today I want to start off on this level of abilities that each one of us has. I'm really not concerned with what stage you are at. I'm concerned with what you are doing at that stage. The master here wasn't, if you look at the way he treated the one with 5 who gained 5 and the way that he dealt with the one with 2 who gained 2, he dealt with them in identical manner. They were putting to use, they were doing business with what had been entrusted to them. And so my first challenge to you today is this: to be in a constant state of improving, to be growing in the word. I'm getting ready to share something with you from this passage that was revelation to me just a few short weeks ago. I mean, I had this passage in my notes, but when I began to study this for a memorial service, I gained new insight, and it really was an eye-opening encounter with God. So I want to encourage you to constantly be striving to get better, to gain new skills, to gain new talents. One of my daughters right now is trying to learn how to play the keyboard. She works with our youth, and she's got a lot of different abilities already. She was very musical, and she's played that instrument for quite a while, the clarinet. She was in high school band and symphonic band and played a number of instruments there. But because of ministry, she is trying to add a new gift to her repertoire, and that is that, you know, she wants to be able to lead the youth group in worship for the glory of the Lord. Not looking for any merit badge or anything like that, but is constantly trying to improve. Here a few weeks ago, she had the opportunity to preach. Same daughter. All of my kids are very talented. They're more talented than I am, more talented than my wife is, their mother, and we're just blessed to be able to watch them abound in the usage of their gifts, and they get excited when they get to utilize some new gifts, and not only that, but they are now beginning to recognize those gifts in other people. So, with that being said, I want to encourage you to utilize the gifts that you have with the intent of being able to become skilled in utilizing even greater gifts. Okay? And so I know that a lot of churches give spiritual giftings test. They want to know where you fit in the body of Christ, where you might find success. And I am all for those things. I've not always found them to be 100% accurate, but I'm all for using those things until we start using them as an exclusionary aspect instead of an inclusive aspect. In other words, just because you are naturally gifted in an area does not mean that God cannot supernaturally gift you in another area. I've talked about this on the radio. I am an introvert by nature. When I was growing up, I was extremely soft-spoken, didn't really talk to a whole bunch of people. I mean, I had my friends and I would talk to them, but I really wasn't the verbal expressor of conversations. I mean, I just didn't get into it. It wasn't until I became a pastor, a senior pastor specifically, that all of a sudden the supernatural giftings of God began to take over my personality. And even to this day, if I'm not in church, if I'm just some place where there's a group of people, I'm going to go and I want to find out what giftings they have. I was actually surprised by a minister's meeting that I went to here about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. I don't remember. It's probably 2 years ago now. And there were pastors of every different size of church you could imagine. And the number of those people who identified themselves as introverts was pretty high. And these were people that if you had asked me to identify them personality-wise, I would have told you that they were extroverts. And they said, well, actually, I'm an introvert. And I said, well, you don't exhibit any of those things. They said, well, it's not about what I don't allow myself to do. It is where I go to recover. It's, you know, where I go to spend my quiet time. And what they said is, you know, they minister to people because they love Jesus. And because they love Jesus, they love people. But when it comes time for them to have their mood of preference or their atmosphere of preference, they like it to be nice and quiet and have a bit of solitude. I was like, never would have guessed that. What could the body of Christ do if we truly believe that we could do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us? I mean, that really is a completely different concept than being limited. Well, you know, I'm tall, so I've got to be a basketball player, or I'm short, so, you know, I get to go around and pick things up off the floor. I'm on the shorter end of things here. So I just don't want to be that person that operates in life, no matter how many talents you have, that operates like the one talent person who said, you know what, I don't want to develop. I don't want to grow. I don't want to put anything at risk because I can't afford any loss. I can't afford to lose. And you, if you read this, you will find that the very thing that he feared was the thing that happened to him, and then worse. Not only did what he have that he returned get taken from him, but he was deemed unprofitable. He was sentenced to punishment. He lost his job. He lost his revelation. And he says there's going to be a lot of weeping, a lot of gnashing of teeth, because he just would not grow. He would not develop his skill set. He would not put the very things that had been entrusted to him into the master's hand, if you will, so that he could even be a better representation of what the body of Christ looks like. So you will find that at Merit Assembly of God, we're constantly moving forward, and it may not be the five step. It might not be the two step. It might be, you know, the one step, but we are constantly going forward. And, you know, I'm thankful for that. I've got people who are doing things that they've never done. Listen, when I came to Merit Assembly of God, I had led worship very, very limited, and I all of a sudden I'm the worship leader. And how that came about was I was told by the pastor I was working for, you're leading worship next Sunday. And I was like, no, I'm not. I'm not a worship leader. Listen, I have no musical rhythm whatsoever. I've got to beat my thigh with my hand like I'm doing on this desk now, or I've got to do the old musical time motions that choir directors would do from a long time ago. That's how I keep musical rhythm in my head. There is nothing natural about it. All of my kids have musical ability. My wife had some musical ability. I can sing some, but I've got no timing. I don't have an internal musical clock. And so, but he kept insisting. And then I was leading worship with quite some frequency. And when I came to Merit Assembly of God, I was the worship leader. And I had a piano player that would play some songs and would record some songs, and we would use that. I mean, we're going back almost 27 years ago. So the technology and the tools were available for free were pretty limited. So, but we started off with a tambourine and a non-musical pastor. And that's where we were as far as having worship with the church. Not only that, Merit Assembly of God didn't know many of the songs that I knew, and many of the songs they knew I didn't know. So we had to add to our musical repertoire one step at a time, and we continue to progress. Now, as you put your giftings to use, what you will find as you are improving and you're growing is that all of a sudden you will be attracted to an entirely different group of people with a different skill set. Musicians tend to be attracted to musicians. Technology people tend to be attracted to technology people. You know, people who have a passion for worship are going to be drawn to people who love to worship, people with youth. And so there is a natural migration of skill sets towards one another to enhance the body of Christ. One of the things that I noticed, it's probably going back nearly 10 years ago now, is rather than a lot of these popular Christian musicians staying in an isolated event, I noticed that what they did is they started to interact with one another. They started to complement one another's work. They would coordinate and come together for a song. One would write and one would sing and one would put the rest of the talent pool together. And I said, you know what? I think that the worship music is getting ready to become exponentially better because the body of Christ is utilizing their gifts. So I don't want to be one that tells you just to sit on what you've got, and if you've developed a few things, great. Listen, I want you to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So the next thing I want to ask you today is, are you okay with God giving you a compliment? Are you okay if God comes along and says, well done? I know that we are supposed to operate in the spirit of humility. And God wants us humble. God gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud. We're not supposed to be rejoicing in what we've accomplished. We're rejoicing in what God has accomplished through us. So when God tells you, well done, when he calls you my daughter or my son, then I encourage you to receive that as a word from the Lord, because God is never wrong. When he went up to Gideon, he said, O mighty man of valor. At that current time, Gideon was anything but a mighty man of valor. But God was calling him what he was going to become. God is never wrong. I had to come to a place where, you know, when people were giving me prophetic words, and they were talking about, you know, that I was faithful, and that God was going to pour in blessings on the roof of our church. Listen, I didn't have any idea to what extent that prophecy was going to come to pass. I, you know, and to be honest with you, I didn't even really feel all that faithful, but in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing shall be established, and prophetic voices kept coming and saying that. And I say, you know what, God, I'm going to accept it as a word from God. I'm going to accept it as a word from you. And I'm just going to continue to go ahead and operate with the goodness and the faithfulness that you have decreed over my life. Okay. To the faithful, God shows himself faithful. And so I believe that one of the reasons why our society is struggling with a harsh image of God and with an unfaithful attitude towards God is because there is so much unfaithfulness in our society and in our land. We really need to get back to where we recognize the value of faithfulness. I heard something recently, and so I'm just gonna, I don't even remember who I heard it from, so I cannot attribute it. I know it wasn't original with me. I'm passing this along, and I think it was a pastor out of California. I believe that's who it was, named Chris Sonkin or Sonson, something along that. I was at a conference and he spoke. He said this: faithfulness is not saying anything bad about your superiors. Faithfulness is not saying or doing anything against your superiors. Loyalty is not allowing anybody else to do it either. And so if you try to get sucked into a conversation that is critical of your pastor or your boss at work, if someone is trying to create and sow seeds of discord, then you show the faithfulness by not doing that, and then show the loyalty and saying, look, we don't want that attitude around here. Sowing seeds of divisiveness is toxic to a work environment. It's toxic to a home. It's toxic to a church. And so I want to encourage you that as you're developing your gifts, that you are doing so with the anticipation of that day of accountability, where we are going to say, God, here's what you gave me. I've employed the strategies that you wanted me to employ, that you trained me with, and here is the, and here is what has happened with it. Now, the last thing I want to share out of Matthew chapter 25 here is this. It says, enter into the joy of your Lord. Okay, remember, these are talents that were delivered. They were the master's resources that were delivered to these servants with the command of doing business until he comes. That's in Luke chapter 19. Do business till I come. Put everything to good use till I come. Stay active till I come. Don't recoil. Do not withdraw. There's multitudes in the valley of decision. Continue to advance. And one day we stand before God and say, God, here's everything that became. Here's what I made out of the opportunity that you gave to me. The scripture says, make the most of every opportunity. And here's what happens. And God says, enter into the joy of your Lord. Now, when I was doing that memorial service, that word enter there is in the imperative sense. It is a command from the master that carries just as much weight as do business till I come. there is just as much weight as enter into the joy of your Lord as there is to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. You as a child of God are in a kingdom that is a kingdom of righteousness, a kingdom of peace, and a kingdom of joy in the Holy Spirit. Do not allow the devil to deprive you of the joy of the presence of the Lord, the fellowship of the Lord, and the fellowship of his saints, because you and I, if we are employing the gifts and utilizing the talents that God has given to us, he's going to say, enter in. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Okay? I want you to know serving God is not meant to be burdensome. It is not meant to be draining. It is supposed to be refreshing. And it is supposed to be about fellowship with God. You see, it says that if we don't do what God tells us to do, we are going to be left out of the fellowship, the celebration that God really wants to have. Now, when I was praying for that memorial service as to what God would have me to speak at that, and this came to pass, this imperative, this enter in, I realized that when God summons you into his presence, it's not about what you would rather do or what someone else would rather have you do. It's about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords saying, you have served me well. You have utilized your gifts. That which has been delivered into your hands has been delivered back into me, and it is more than what it started with. Enter into the joy of your Lord. When Sunday comes around and you and I get to celebrate the freedom to worship God that many people around this globe do not have. Every week, it seems, I hear of Christians that are being killed in different countries around the world simply because they worship Jesus. And I tell you, I've experienced many things that this world has to offer, and there is no place that I'd rather be than where Jesus is. There is no one I'd want to spend eternity with more than I would want to spend with Jesus. And so when we come together this Sunday and the invitation comes, let's enter into worship. Enter in. When the invitation comes that says, let's dive into the Word of God, enter in. And when the opportunity comes to emerge from that building refilled with the Word of God, refueled by the Holy Spirit, and refreshed by the fellowship with the saints, that we go out, and when he says, go into all the world, that we will do the same thing, and we will do it with joy. You might be scared beyond words to go and tell somebody about Jesus. The disciples knew exactly what that was like. Jesus sent them out, and they came back with joy. And they said, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. But don't rejoice in that, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I tell you, there should be no group of people in Brevard County that have a greater reason to celebrate than believers do, because we have a Lord who is not like a taskmaster over us. He's setting us up to succeed, to develop our gifts, to utilize those gifts so that we can hear him tell us that we have done well and that he says, enter in. Let's enter in today to the joy of the Lord. We'll see you tomorrow right here on
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Sing hallelujah. Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees? I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vienna.